Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. Stay ahead of all the big games in the best league in the world, the Premier League. With the latest odds, form guides, expert opinions and more, the fans are the players at Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com, 18+, begambleaware.org, T's and C's apply.
This is a Game Day podcast from Talk Sport. Game Day, your verdict.
What a day we've had in the Premier League. We saw an unbelievable result in our Game Day exclusive commentary on TalkSport. Norwich beat Manchester City 3-2 at Carrow Road. And to make the day even worse for the champions, Chelsea, Spurs, Manchester United and Liverpool all took home 3 points. You've had your say on TalkSport and TalkSport 2. Here's the very best of your thoughts from the full-time phone-in with Adrian Durham and Perry Groves and your verdict with me and Darren Bent. This is Game Day, your verdict, the podcast. Right, let's get straight into it. Here's James, a Chelsea fan, who following the Blues 5-2 win against Wolves, says that Chelsea are better off without a certain Belgian forward.
It was a great performance, but we're not going to get too carried away. Last season, Wolves did do us away, and they did do us at home. But this game, it was different. This game was the first time I've seen Chelsea in a long time play with a bit more shape. We had a bit more shape, we had a bit more passion. Tammy Abraham, he holds the ball great, very great. And Hazard leaving us is a blessing in disguise, because now we're playing towards a striker. We're playing towards Tammy Abraham.
Hazard leaving is a blessing in disguise.
Yes.
What, one of the world's best players? Are you? I know you've done well today, like 5-2, but let's all calm down a little bit.
The reason why, because with Hazard, we play towards Hazard. Every match we play towards him, and teams are just marking. Now we're playing towards our strikers. Believe it or not, for me, I'm a different team. We got players in the box. We got players making the runs. We just don't have players who just pass them to Hazard on the wing. We got more space. We got Tammy Abraham scored 7 goals. When's the last time the Chelsea striker scored 7 goals in 4 games?
He's the Premier League's top scorer, which is absolutely amazing. But James, thanks for that. I mean, you've made Perry's night.
A blessing in disguise.
Well,
I mean they're getting carried away with Frank.
It's a tough place to come. They haven't lost here for a long time. They get good results. Well, they got good results last year against the top six teams because they defend so well. They don't concede opportunities much, and because they're so dangerous on the counter attack. But so we changed the system. The players took that on board really well, and yeah, I'm delighted to be able to come in and score 5 goals, because not many do that.
After winning at what most people would see as a Chelsea no-brainer, we've won 5-2 at Wolves. Wolves aren't a bad team, but I think, you know, as much as Eden Hazard is my favourite player, we might have actually moved on from that now. And there's so many youngsters that are represented. I mean, my dad went to the under-23 match last night at Stamford Bridge, and I've had a discussion with my father today, yeah? And he said Callum Hudson-Odoi was outstanding, yeah? And also Reece James. So I think what Chelsea are doing and stepping in the right direction under Frank Lampard, I don't expect to win anything this year. Not at all. But I think we are moving in the right direction, Adrian and Perry.
Let me ask you a question, though. You don't expect to win anything, that's fine. But if you don't finish top four, is that an issue?
Oh, massive. Frank massive out. Issue. But we will finish top four, because we're that good.
Matt, I can't see
it. Don't forget, we've got... Listen, Perry and Adrian. We've got Ruben Loftus-Cheek to come back. Kante, if he stays, Emerson, Callum, Pulisic didn't even play today. That's a £68 million player. I mean, cut.
Matt, do you know what? Going forward, right, I'll agree with you, but,
yeah, go on.
But defensively, also, your midfield defensively, when you play against... Wolves were really poor today, trust me. They were so passive, it was embarrassing.
They're rubbish anyway.
No, they're not.
Rubbish club.
No, they're a decent club. Wolves are a decent side. Well, I actually thought they'd give you problems today.
Tell me how many titles they've won in the last 15 years.
Matt, they haven't had your money. There's a complete difference.
It is very, very true.
Nuno Espirito Santo has got to look over his shoulder right now because his job is going to be in jeopardy if results carry on the way they are.
Is there any sympathy because of the fact that you're battling with playing in Europe as well and you had a lot of fixtures?
I do not blame our European exploits for the slump in performances and in form and in results.
Okay.
I blame the fact that he's constantly asset stripping, and when I say asset stripping, he is getting rid of players that I rate very highly, and I've become increasingly irate that he's getting rid of the flair players. For example, Elba Costa, Ivan Cavaleiro, Benica Fobi, and I've also heard in the grapevine that he's got rid of one of the most promising youngsters in the Wolves Youth Academy setup, in Niall Ennis. And all he's doing right now is flooding his midfield with defensive-minded players, and he's even got Ruben Neves playing so deep. He's playing as an extra defender, and we're totally devoid of flair in that vital cog of the midfield engine room, and it leaves the likes of Raul Jimenez and the excellent Diego Jota isolate the front. And also, he has shown a marked reluctance in wanting to play Adama Traore. He only plays Adama Traore so that Adama Traore can compromise his style when he's filling in for Matt Doherty, when Doherty either picks up an injury or illness as a wing back. Mm-hmm. Adama Traore is not a wing back, Nuno Espirito Santo. Adama Traore does his best work when he's terrorising the opposition.
What do you think about that, Darren?
To be fair, I just think that's potentially that. I did think Wolves would be doing better than they would be this season. I thought after what they did last season, I fully expected them to kick on again. But it's this European curse again. I mean, I know he's saying it's not anything to do with that, and it's team selection. He's playing players out of position, but people don't understand, especially that Europa League. You play that many games, that it takes a toll on the squad. And unless you've got a massive, massive squad, which I don't think Wolves have, it's going to take a toll. But I think it's coming to the stage, which is crazy to say so early, that Wolves need to maybe go one way or the other. They need to prioritise staying in the Premier League or this Europa run. And for me, they need to obviously prioritise their league form, because at the minute, not to win one game this season is surprising, because I thought they'd be doing a lot better.
Stay there, Kevin. I just want to bring Dean in, because at the moment it's conceding goals that is a huge, huge problem, isn't it, for Wolves?
It is, yeah. I mean, Kevin, very, very passionate, I think, about how obviously Wolves have started the season. And actually, you know, within that rant, he's got a point. There was a lot of flair players that have been, you know, been sort of shunted out the door at Wolves, which did surprise me, actually, especially with how well they were doing and the thoughts of getting into the Europa League. You want as big a squad as possible, and certainly them attacking players. But come on, he's got you promoted from the Championship. You're now in Europe, which notoriously all clubs struggle with, especially at the starts of season. Just a little bit of calm needed, I think.
What do you think, Kevin?
Yeah, because we're a massive club. We are a massive club. We're a much bigger club than what most people realise. And we can't afford to be letting our standards drop. We've been starved of success with virtually over 40 years of hurt. Our last major trophy was the League Cup. Mm-hmm. Beating Nottingham Forest in the 1980 League Cup.
Okay, Kevin, what would you do then? Do you want Nuno out? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm afraid with the way things are actually going, he needs to go, because he isn't going to change. don't forget that his mentor, his Jose Mourinho, he played under him. He played under Jose Mourinho, for crying out loud. All he knows is Jose Mourinho's methods. Didn't know any other way.
Did you feel like this last season, did you, when you finished, what was it, seventh?
I was elated at our final position last season, but I felt that we could have done even better. Look what happened in the FA Cup semi-final. Look what happened in that. He took off his best player, Diogo Jota, in that match when we were holding just a precarious 2-1 lead. And look what happened in the end. Mm. We ended up getting knocked out.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much for your call. Please go and open a window and just let some of that helium out of the room, because your voice has really hit the ceiling there.
Game day. Your verdict on Talk Sport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. There's a lot more to those 90 minutes than what goes down on the pitch. With the latest odds, form guides and expert opinions, you'll know the score with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org. T's and C's apply.
What an amazing, amazing performance for Norwich, and an amazing result really for them. Just came at the right time as well. I wonder how much that will propel them forward this season. Let's go to the other side of the camp then. Let's speak to Roger. He's a Manchester City fan. Where do you think it went wrong today, Roger?
Well, simple, Otamendi. Any Premier League striker right now who saw that performance, they must be licking their fingers. I mean, Troy Deeney, De Lufeu, for next week, and obviously Shakhtar Donetsk now in the midweek. I think, you know, having been obviously at Manfredi's testimonial midweek, I think Julian Lescott would be a better option right now to play at centre back. In my whole time of watching football, I think I've never seen such a bad performance of a centre back. You can't knock Stones or Zinchenko. They were okay. I think that was the biggest problem. But then obviously what we saw as well is I think De Bruyne was really missing in the first half. I thought when he came on straight away, Norwich kind of went back about, you know, 10 yards and he was the kind of go-to man. So I think these two things. But obviously, you know, don't get me wrong, Norwich, fantastic work rate. I thought their both fullbacks were absolutely outstanding. Because they covered Bernardo and Sterling, fantastically. I don't know. Maybe we should loan Otamendi out to the Championship or League One. I don't know. He might be helpful there. But it was abysmal.
Question for you, Darren.
Yep.
Should Pep be playing his strongest side, so that means Kevin De Bruyne in there and not prioritising Champions League? Or do you think City fans actually would not mind not winning the Premier League this season if it meant they won the Champions League?
Yeah, I think they'd like to preferably win the Champions League, but obviously who am I to tell Pep what team to select? But for me, I would play De Bruyne week in, week out for me. I mean, I think he's one of the best players in the Premier League, if not the best. He's integral to everything they do, getting on the ball. And as I said, he takes them up another level. But I don't even think with him starting from the beginning, you can't take away the defensive lapses. I think that's not what's cost City today. It's not like they've not created chances, because they've had chances to get themselves back in. I mean, they've had so many shots, they've created opportunities and have not taken them. It's been great saves from the goalkeeper as well. But I just think it was the defensive side of the thing that let City down today. As we said, a set play, like practically a free header. Then I think it was John Stones trying to play offside when Otamendi had dropped a little bit, and then Pukki bent in behind the run. And then also the last one, Otamendi's dilly-dallying on it, not really doing much with it. It gets intercepted, it goes to Pukki, and he puts it in the net. So, as I said, yeah, I'd play De Bruyne every single minute, not every minute of every game, but I think certainly I'd start him in more games than not. But as I said today, it wasn't that cost him, it was just the defensive lapses.
Roger, do you think this is just a temporary blip for Manchester City or more of a long-term problem that you're going to have this season?
I think we just have to, you know, go back now. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, it's just, we lost one game now. I think, obviously, like last season, we lost against, you know, Palace and Leicester. And then all of a sudden, we went on a massive run and obviously won the Premier League in front of a very, very strong Liverpool team. So, I'm pretty sure they'll go back, you know, discuss things. Fernandinho will come into your defence and play with John Stones, hopefully next game. But, I wouldn't obviously, take too much into that. I mean, obviously, it's a massive loss, obviously a huge boost for Liverpool. But stay calm and obviously go into the next game.
I've got Pep Guardiola alongside me. Pep, what was your assessment of your team's performance today?
Well, congrats from Norwich. Bournemouth, we concede more chances than today. We make some mistakes, so in that level always punish us. We create chances, especially in the second half. So we lost the game and improve from here.
It seemed like all the momentum was with you after Sergio Aguero scored, but to concede that goal 5 minutes after half-time was a really poor time to concede.
Oh, yeah, we know it. So I don't have the feeling. Norwich has a very good team. They have so offensive, they had the personality to play. And we knew it. We spoke about that. As international breakaway is always is tricky. But I think we played this and we were running incredible. But sometimes, you know, the strikers or the people in front don't score a goal. Sometimes the people up front don't defend what we have to do. Sometimes the build-up is not good. Sometimes you make him stand the bad. Football is sometimes. In Tottenham, we shoot 28 or 30 times. I don't know how many in target. They score just 2 goals. And they arrive 2 times and score 2 goals. So Bournemouth arrived more time and they didn't score. And we could score. So it's that, but no from here. So in that level, in a high competition, the few mistakes always you are be punished, and you have to know exactly what you have to do.
I'd just like to comment on the defence. Obviously, we're shipping goals left, right and centre. I cannot for the life of me understand why we let Mangala go and keep someone like Stones. Do you know what I mean? He's consistently sort of poor. Mangala, you know, I remember Chelsea on his debut, he was absolute class. So I don't understand why we've let him go.
It's a tough one with John Stones because it does seem that he's not developing, is probably the wrong word to use, but you keep seeing the same mistakes, like game after game after game. And I did question at the times when Manchester City, obviously they knew company was leaving, which was, I think, was a big blow, a bigger blow than I think people thought, because they kind of thought to themselves, well, he's not playing every week, so maybe this is his time. But we saw the latter stages of last season how much of an effect he had. But I think the moment Laporte went down is when people started to worry and think, well, how's his defence going to look? I think we're starting to see it now because there's no organisation back there. I think there's no real lit characters back there. I think when Kompany was there, there was a leader. And even Laporte, when he plays, there's a kind of a leader there and someone who's an organisation, whether that be set plays or just in general play. And I think at the moment, that's lacking. So what Guardiola is going to do now, I'm not quite sure, because you said today especially, Norwich didn't hit. That's probably the worst thing, is that Norwich didn't have to work for their goals. They were kind of given to them.
How worried are you, Ethan? It's only 5 games in or something like that, but are you concerned that this is going forward going to be massive?
I'm very concerned. Yeah? I think we need to be looking at bringing in players. You know, Richard Dunn was solid. I see him on BT. I mean, he could do a job. Kompany's obviously a manager. He could definitely do a job. We've got to start bringing some experience through.
You had previous callers on talking about company missing, and there's 2 international centre-halves in their side. I can't see how you can use that as an excuse. We had a game plan, we stuck to it, we had 3 chances, we scored 3 goals. So, you know, we've got how many centre-halves out and 11 players missing today.
Daniel, considering all the injuries and the fact you're playing against one of the best sides in the world, where does this rank for you in terms of achievements in your managerial career?
Yeah, it's a special night without any doubt, and it's a big win, and we all can be proud. And but I wouldn't interpret too much on it. It was just one of 38 games, and even in this game we just get 3 points, so it's totally loud for our fans, for our supporters, yeah, for our key people, even for the players to celebrate today a bit. But we will stay calm. We know that we have to focus further on, and all the topics will be difficult in the future. For that, a special night, and you have to value this. You have to enjoy this, because otherwise you will lose your motivation if you don't do this. But don't interpret too much in it.
How much character and bravery does it take to play that style of football in your own half, when Man City, one of the best pressing sides in the world, the likes of Aguero, Sterling, in the box, the players still play with great confidence?
We need bravery today. We need togetherness. We need spirit and belief in ourselves and stick to our principles. And even if we had less possession than in different other games, so then to stay mentally strong, to still believe, okay, when there are these moments when you are in possession, then you have to use it in order to create chances against them. And this is exactly what we did. And I can remember 2 or 3 other good scenes where we could create even more out of it. Timo had another brilliant chance. Todd Cantwell had the chance to play a finishing pass to him as well in the second half. So we created not only 3 goals but also a few other chances, and this was the key today, because just if you just try to be there with a clean sheet, then you have no chance against Man City. But in general, also our defending was quite well today, and yeah, was a pretty well-rounded performance, and we're all happy.
Just finally from me, how much confidence is this going to give you and your side in your battle to stay in this division? It's going to be tough, but when you beat one of the best sides in the world, that must give you so much hope.
Yes, a lot of confidence, but also a lot of motivation for the mood, because it shows when you stick together, when you are brave, when you're together, when you're one unity and with a strong mentality and a really good spirit, then you have a chance in each and every game, and this is what we take out of this game.
Game day, your verdict on Talk Sport.
It felt to me like the season almost starts from here today. First part of the season, you beat Villa at home, and then it was a bit kind of like what's going on off the field was dominating. It really felt today, watching you, season starts now.
You can say that. You know, obviously it was an emphatic win and dominant win as well to get the 4 goals at home. But you know, we've had some good starts to the season. We've had some mixed spells. You know, obviously the Newcastle game wasn't good enough. But you know, we come here at home, and today we said we want to go out there, make a statement. We want to completely dominate the team, show exactly what we're about, and you know, completely suffocate the side. And today I think we've done that. You know, we didn't give Palace any kind of chance to breathe, any chance to feel like they're in the game. And you know, the early goal really helped us as well, and I thought we were fantastic today.
Does it help Harry Kane, the fact that if he doesn't score, you know, someone like Heung-min Son is? And I thought his 2 goals, they were in their own different way terrific. Toby's ball for the first one and the volley for the second.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everybody contributes more than just, you know, especially the front players, especially more than just goals. You know, they and assists. You know, they work hard, they press. The most important thing is that they work hard for the team, and then obviously their quality shines through that, and they get their goals and their assists. But I think everybody today, you know, we was all in sync. We pressed well, we defended well, we attacked well, and I think today it was clinically we were perfect today.
Olympiacos coming up in midweek, the start of another Champions League campaign. Shall I book myself in for the final?
Well, it's early days, but it's look, we've got confidence obviously from the last run last year. We had a good side, you know, a good run and some good games, and hopefully we can do that same thing this year and win. But you know, it's going to be a tough game going there. It's you know, they're no difficult side to, you know, the easy side to play against. They're going to be very tough. So we're going to go out there. We're going to go obviously full of confidence after today. And hopefully we can get a win.
And finally, you've given Liverpool and City a little bit of a start at the top of the table, but the word from Spurs today is that we're back, yeah?
Of course, yeah. You know, that our mentality has never been gone. We've always had the same mentality. But I think, you know, today, just the way that we played and, you know, the energy that we come with, is that's you know, that's what we're about. And today we was excellent, and hopefully we can build on that and get some momentum.
We got barnstormed from the start of the game. I thought the way they played in the first 15 to 20 minutes of the game was really very good. The intensity, the pace, the power, and not least of all, of course, the quality of the passing and the quality of the finishing. So, you know, when you come up against that, and We conceded the early goal, which is something we definitely didn't want to do, and then you can see two in very close succession. At 3-0 during the start, during the middle of the half, we are staring down the barrel of a gun. We're going to find it very, very difficult to come back from that. And unfortunately, there was no let-up from the Spurs side until maybe the second half, when they were quite entitled to maybe step down a gear or two because they were comfortable in having secured the victory. And we had to work hard even in the second half to make certain they didn't aggravate the score.
Very unlike your teams, because as I put in my preview day, you've won it in the last 2 years, you won at Anfield, at City, at United, you won everywhere in the top six bar here. Mm. And you came here today, and as you say, you were barnstormed in the first half. Can you put your finger on why?
Not really. I mean, we will have to accept the criticism that we didn't start the game well enough, that we didn't show the right intensity, that we didn't win enough challenges, and, you know, we didn't do well enough stopping them scoring the goals they scored. And that's a fact of life. But it's not so easy just to, you know, put that down to the fact, as one or two people have tried to say, well, you were missing a couple of players, or, you know, your players didn't have the right attitude before the game. I don't think that's really the case. I think it's more a case that we weren't able to produce anything like the form that we would have liked to have shown, and we ran into a Tottenham team that really came out playing their very best football. And when they play their very best football, you know, we know they're one of the top teams in the country. You don't get to Champions League finals if you don't have that sort of ability that they showed today. And we weren't good enough, certainly in the first half, to prevent them from showing that ability.
Finally from me, how do you get back on the bike, so to speak, next week at home to Wolves? How do you get the players' mentality and attitude right for Selhurst next Saturday?
Well, that's up to them. I mean, the fact is, we'll be doing the work we always do. We'll be making the same demands on them as we always do. And, of course, we'll be encouraging them to make certain that they learn any lessons that are there to be learned from this defeat, and then that they put that behind them, because you can't change results that have already happened. You can only affect results that are likely to happen in the future. And we'll be giving them all the right advice in that respect. But it's up to them as well now to take stock of the performance, to ask questions of themselves. You know, did I do enough? You know, was my approach to the game as it should be? Did I do all the things that we as a team agreed and tried to set out to do? And having learnt the lesson, make certain it doesn't happen again.
Game day, your verdict on Talk Sport.
It was obviously a tough game, but I think every game is, isn't it? There's no easy games, but it's obviously positive. You know, I think we've gone 2.5 years now at Anfield in the league without losing, and we've won the last 14 league games on the bounce. But you know, you've just got to carry on knocking the wins off, and I think they've got that mentality. I think you can see that now. They don't panic if they go down. They're quite comfortable in their possession. They've got the threats all over the pitch, and they just look a mature team now. I don't know how you see it.
Well, let me tell you about that. I saw the game, and we had commentary of it, Tony. You know, Liverpool have conceded 4 goals in the 5 games this season. I wouldn't say it's a source of concern, but if you aren't going to win the title, that might well be the reason.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to look at it that way, you can do, obviously, but I think most people would look at it that Liverpool have just won 14 league games on the spin. I mean, obviously, people have got to look for some sort of flaw, you might say, but I just think that they're just a, you know, very well-oiled machine now.
I tell you what I'm doing. I didn't mean to be negative. Looking at why Liverpool and Man City might be separated at the end of the season.
It was very good towards the end of the game, and obviously you came back from 1-0 down, but tell me what you thought when Jethro Williams smashed in that goal after 7 minutes.
Nothing, because that's exactly what happens if you don't play the game you want to play. If we let them set that, or we adapted to their tempo. That makes no sense, because 5-4-1 system is made for a low tempo. And if you pass around and you always have 9 players in front of you, you think, okay, that's not too cool. And so you have to speed up in the right moments. You have to find the right gaps. You have to be more lively. You have to accelerate in the right moments, and so many things. So we arrived in that game after 25 minutes, not after the goal we conceded. We needed still a couple of minutes. We were not nervous, that's good, but we needed a bit longer to find our feet then finally. But when we did that, then it was really good. Then we played really good football, scored fantastic goals, and second half played few pieces of football, which are very nice to watch.
What do you put that slumberous start down to?
It's not a slumber start. It's that we always have the challenge That the boys play for different countries and not all for the same country, and they have different things to do. They one are defending differently, the other are attacking differently. They are no machines. We cannot. We have 2 days to, by the way, our way, we do it like this, and the opponent is Newcastle and not whatever, Germany or whatever. And that's the challenge for all of us. And so it's normal that you need a bit of time to adapt. In a perfect world, we would do that before the game, and sometimes you need the game, and today we needed the game. So how is it? I was not, I was angry about it. I saw what happened, and then we tried to change a couple of things with a few advices in halftime again, with three situations I think we showed. And so then it's not easier, and the boys did well, and so we won the game, and that well deserved.
You decided to leave Roberto Firmino on the bench today, but it was only 38 minutes before he ended up having to come on for Divock Origi. We'll find out about him in just a second, but the impact of Firmino. Could you just tell us what you thought?
Yeah, it was in training, it was clear that he doesn't need a break, but that's always like this. You, in the best way, you do the make a change when the player is not already injured. So we need to try to be sensible in moments. And that's what it was today. They flew around the world, played in very difficult circumstances. He played, I think,
LA,
both games.
He?
Yeah,
he was in LA, wasn't he?
Miami and LA. So Miami's even warmer. So it's not a holiday. So it's really tough. No, that was the reason. That was the only reason why we thought about it. But we knew when we can bring him whenever we need him, and so that's what we did. And with Divock, it was unlucky the situation. It was very early in the game on the sideline, and he twisted his ankle there, but could carry on. That then he felt it a bit too much. So hopefully it's not too serious. That would be really good.
I think there's a big greed problem going in the squad right now. Went to the game today. Was in the cup. I feel like possibly. Mane and Salah have a little bit of a problem under tension that people aren't seeing. Without Bobby in that squad, we're a bang average side, and I think that people may be overthinking that 5 points is a big lead over the City. Mm-hmm. With their squad depth, with the way they're moving, I think that maybe, just maybe, we're in the mix, but we're not just there. And I think that a lot of people ringing into your show are a little bit deluded and think that, all right, we won the Champions League, we won that maybe... We're in the Premier League, but we're not at that size just yet.
Level-headed, Aaron. I mean, Darren, what do you think about that? But he mentions Firmino, the importance of Firmino. Started with Divock Origi tonight. He obviously went off injured. Firmino comes on and things look a lot different. Is he the glue that holds it all together at Liverpool?
Yeah, it seems so. I mean, I had this discussion in the week about who was a better number nine, Harry Kane or Firmino, and I said Harry Kane, but on the evidence...
Change
of the
mind.
No, I've not changed my mind, but I just think Firmino at the minute is playing really well, and he probably is the glue that holds them two together. But what I will say is I think the reason why people say Manchester City fans, for instance, are thinking, not even so much Manchester City fans, but people are thinking, oh, it's crisis at Manchester City, is because of the form of Liverpool. Mm-hmm. I think because Liverpool at the moment look unstoppable in the winning game, they're not just like drawing or picking up points, they're winning games consecutive, winning. I think it just seems like they're not going to slow down anytime soon. So I think even though it's an early on the season, you just can't see where Liverpool are going to drop points at the minute. And I think that's why Manchester City fans are a little bit like, well, you know what, the title might be over already after so early, because I know it's only 5 points, but as I said, it just doesn't look like Liverpool slowing down anytime soon.
What did you think, Aaron, of the signings that you made over the summer? Because there was one criticism that perhaps you didn't strengthen enough, but at the moment, I mean, you sort of mentioned it a little bit, haven't you? At the moment, it looks like those signings are enough just to keep you in there with Alisson out injured and Adrian actually coming in and playing well.
Just possibly. I'd say that we've been saved with the keeper, who's given us a lot of talent. I'd say that we spent a lot of money last year. It's probably saved us this season. You know, I feel like Klopp gets a lot of chat this year, maybe thinking, you know, the fans saying he's not spent a lot of money, but I feel like he has strengthened the squad, and I feel like our strength does lie from the squad chemistry, the way that we lie and the way that we move. However, I do feel a lot of the talkers on the show, I don't know if you agree that Firmino is our link in the triangle. Without him, we do lack a lot of strength.
Game day.
The biggest football league in the world.
Game day. Your verdict on Talk Sport.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. The latest odds? We set them. Form guides? We've got them. Expert opinions? We share them. The best fans in the world deserve the best. Be match day ready before the whistle blows with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com, 18 plus, begambleaware.org, T's and C's apply.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.